Director's Board meeting tonight for September 14th. And the first thing, I'd like a call to order. And we roll call. Vice President Guerrero.
Present.
Director Hurdle.
Here.
President Angelo.
Here.
Director Searcy.
Here.
Director Lucy.
Present.
Okay, and could you join us, please, in a flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, and with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Okay, agenda review. Marie, do you have anything in particular that you want to start off with? You ready to roll?
Additions, deletions.
What's that?
Any additions or changes, deletions? Nothing? Okay.
Also move to approve the motion to approve the agenda as presented.
Okay, do I hear a second?
I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, and now we go to public comments. And they are limited to 3 minutes. And is there anyone here that would like to make comment to the board this evening?
Mr. Edwards.
Mr. Edwards has a public comment on flooding.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam President, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. Good evening.
Good evening.
I wanted to speak a little bit about drainage and flooding in Oceano this evening. Yesterday, you may know, the Board of Supervisors held a status update in the afternoon to discuss the matter. And I understand your board isn't directly, one of your powers is not drainage, so I appreciate that. And in a desert environment, you get infrequent storms, and when you do get them, there's high variability. You get big dumps of rainfall. And we know that in December of last year, the rainfall was only about 6 inches in that December 18th, 19th evening that resulted in the flooding of the Sand District and ultimately the Island neighborhood. The county, it's my view that the county's efforts are falling considerably short. And I appeared last Wednesday at the Sand District meeting. Pablo Ogren, Director of Public Works, made a presentation. And I'm afraid it's the same old presentation, coming again and again and again. Madam President, Director Lucy was at the Sand District meeting, and she was aware of what was going on. It's unfortunate that the county is going to bring this back at the end of October, another meeting, yet it seems that all they've been able to do so far is have meetings and hire consultants. They hired another consultant recently, and they're going to hire still another consultant in the coming weeks. Of the 7 items that the Board of Supervisors directed staff to do, 5 of them related to the Arroyo Grande Creek Channel. Which is a process that's already ongoing and frankly is redundant in the context of the flooding that's occurred here recently. Only 2 items related to the Meadow Creek lagoon system. And frankly, all the county decided to do yesterday, that they talked about a pump that is that they have, but it's dedicated to Cambria. So in the event of with a storm event, that pump's got to go to Cambria. They talked about getting a portable pump for Oceano, but they're not sure where to deploy it. They simply don't know. But they're going to have a pump for the community. Again, I think this is all falling very short. And compounding the situation, just last week, a week ago Tuesday, the Board of Supervisors, and I will summarize, the Board of Supervisors approved a consultant that General Services Airport Division is hiring to further development of the Oceano Airport. That is more paving and some more buildings without any consideration for drainage. So I'd urge your board to maybe involve yourself a little bit more to the extent that you can. I know there's a lot of issues before you, but I think it's important, and the winter storms are just around the corner, and frankly, the residents, particularly of the island, are vulnerable at this time. And I'm available for any questions, but thanks for your attention.
Thank you,
Jeff.
Thank you for your interest, Jeff.
I'll move for the approval of the minutes with a correction.
And the correction, Director Sears, would be to, I say we just interdelineate that line on page 3 that Director Hurdle announced in the planning committee.
Okay.
And I'll second it with that.
With that change? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Now, can I just point out, too, is that we have a really bad mic system in this boardroom, so if we could talk directly into the mic, it would help us all. Thank you.
Okay. Let's go to the reports now so we don't have everyone waiting on us to finish our stuff. So yeah. The report from the Sheriff South County Station, Commander Robin Weckerly.
Put this down. It's Weckerly.
It is Weckerly, okay.
It's Dutch.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would like to introduce myself. I am now the new commander at South Station. I have been in charge of South Station before, but it was a long time ago, back in like 96 to 99. So it's been a while. I'm very happy to be back. If you need to get hold of me, please just either walk across the street, or if you have numbers, it's the same way you got hold of Commander Conway, exactly the same. And if you need anything, you have a special concern that you think the Sheriff's Department can help with, please do not hesitate to call. I was talking to Ms. Lucy earlier. The one thing I would like to report, which I'm sure you all have already noticed, graffiti is up. Most of it is between Napomo and Oceano, one crossing out the other, one writing it bigger than the other, the same stuff that's been going on for years. Please call with that, and we will send the graffiti truck out to get it fixed. If you plan on painting it over yourself, if you see a name, please jot that down and what it says, and please give me a call, because a lot of these tag artists are proud of their work and they want to sign it, and we submit that information to our gang unit. We can often backtrack and then charge them with the vandalism that they created. But we do have the graffiti truck that you're well aware of that we will send out if you just let us know.
Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back. I have gotten a positive response from your unit. Some people have come into the store and commented that they came out and fixed the graffiti. And one person even came in and said they weren't called, you know, they hadn't called. So I think it's already making a difference.
Good. Yeah, we do have that new truck, and like the other areas, we have a board, so we know that one graffiti that happened last night happened after 1:30, because they patrolled by that area, and it wasn't there, and then they came back earlier in the morning, and it was.
Yeah.
So they're out late at night doing these things. So, but just let us know.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, do we have a report for the Five Cities Fire Authority?
Good evening.
Good evening, Chief.
Five Cities Fire Authority. I'd like to start out my report this evening talking about a structure fire we had this morning. It was at the Efren Deli, right here.
Oh, yes, a new one.
And although the fire is still under investigation, it's believed that the cause of the fire was from some oily rags that were stored in a bag and spontaneously combusted. The fire started about 8:30 this morning, and we had the fire knocked down within 10 minutes. That's by the Cindy company right here.
Great.
That was sitting back here.
Great.
They came out of the station. And we had the fire completely finished by 10:30.
Wow,
excellent.
And they should be back in business tomorrow.
Wonderful.
Yay.
Excellent. Good work.
Good to be close.
Thank you so much. What a great job.
Thank you. For the month, we ran out of Station 61 here in Oceano. We ran 65 calls. 41 of those are emergency medical incidents, two hazardous conditions, six of just public service assist, and 14 were good intentional, you know, false alarms, that type of thing. And 12 out of all those calls were to the Oceana units.
Okay, that's all I have.
Any questions?
I do have a question.
Yeah, Community Service District, State Parks, and now it's been transferred over to the Five Cities Fire Authority. We have met with State Parks to talk about maybe continuing the contract. Nothing's been firmed yet. This current contract will come to end in May. And basically, State Parks provide us a vehicle, a patrol unit, and we respond out there and provide services, fire services.
Right. Okay. So you are going to renegotiate that contract, or at least come up with another contract? And will that be determined by the JPA, and then the representatives bring it back to their boards, prospective boards? Would that be the process?
Exactly. Okay. The Five Cities Fire Authority would talk to the fire board, and then representatives come to their individual boards.
Okay. Thanks.
Ricky, on the runs that you had to the dunes, were those all accidents, or were they a variety of things?
Mostly they were vehicle accidents.
Okay.
But a few medical aids, and also the rangers out there, they've been very, you know, they're looking out the overall safety of everybody, mm-hmm. and also they understand the fact that they're taking a resource away from here,
yeah.
and so if they don't need us, then they'll cancel us.
Okay.
Yes.
Good.
Thank you.
I have a quick question, Chief. The Five Cities Fire Authority has just celebrated its first year. As being the fire authority. And you mentioned there were 41 EMT type calls or medical response type calls. Does the fire authority see more training, more medical aid, paramedic type training as being something that would be beneficial to the community if we were able to provide that?
If I understand your question correctly, are you saying providing training to the people?
To the fire department, to the staff, right?
We're required by state law and also by the local EMSA, Emergency Medical Service mm-hmm. Agency, to continue our training in emergency medical. We're required to put in 24 hours of training every 2 years. And so through our Tuesday night drills, we capture all that training, and because we're good evening.
Thank you.
Okay, next item will be the report of the OCSD operations. And
August, we completed our billing cycle. There was nothing abnormal to report, except there seems to be an increase in hardship cases. General Manager represented OCSD at the Grover Beach 9/11 Memorial. He also represented OCSD at North City's management area and is continuing to take a more active role. GM represented OCSD at the Sanitation District Member Agency meeting, with a focus on combining resources and cost sharing. It represented a very positive first step. General Manager attended Sanitation District meeting to support Director Lucy. Staff worked with the Oceano Cleanup Committee, offering much needed experience along with Director Hurdle. Staff worked with Director Searcy on alternative income generating streams to increase contribution to reserves. We're just gonna talk on that in a few minutes. GM worked several personnel and district issues with council. Field repaired a hydrant hit by a vehicle a couple weekends ago on a Sunday night. The field crew installed the remaining inventory of new meters. The district still needs to continue updating our meters. This requires another bulk purchase, which will be determined at a later date. Field completed ISO hydrant testing and inspection with Five Cities Fire Department. and field ordered parts to relocate the Lopez meter to our water yard. They completed routine well samples, and they completed manhole inspections with sanitation district staff and prepared corrective action and are waiting on Arroyo Grande to combine the repair effort. They also performed VOD samples to assist the sanitation district in troubleshooting effluent problem. And the last item I'd like Dan to talk on, because I'm the new kid on the block, so to speak, and he's well aware of the issues that we've had with our pumps. So we had a budget line item for replacing a pump, and we did it a little bit differently. So Dan, how about if you explain it to the board for us?
Yeah.
Speaking to the mic.
A few weeks ago, our well six at the water yard had a short in the wiring, and it reinstalled, and it's up and running.
Yay. Good job. Marie, can I take an opportunity to ask Dan about water whenever you're...
Yeah, that was the last of the items on my report, so sure.
Dan, Oceano has several different sources of water, right?
Yes.
We have our groundwater, which we've kind of had a moratorium on not pumping the groundwater for many reasons. And then we have Lopez
state
and state, and we just kind of mix those together and send them down the same pipe. And then there's surplus water in the dam that is relatively very, well, it's very, very cost effective compared to the state water and our allocation water, our Lopez water. So what are we pumping right now? Do you know? Because I know we switch up and pump from one area depending on the numbers and how
right
much
now,
water, how much we have in that certain area.
Yeah, right now we're getting the largest majority of our water through the pipeline from Lopez and State. And I believe we're taking our surplus water right now, along with everybody else in the five cities. We're all using as much as possible
on the surplus.
Surplus, yeah.
Okay, that's kind of where I was trying to get, because one, the surplus is the most cost-effective water. I mean, it really is very, very cheap. And then two, is the dam's at 92%. So, you know, in order to draw that dam down, because, you know, they have that policy is that if that dam spills over one drop, the surplus water clock stops and goes back to zero. So everybody loses their surplus, is my understanding.
Yeah.
You know, so we don't want it to splash.
Yeah, we have our Lopez feed line is wide open, mm-hmm. and we're taking as much as we possibly can take through that line right now.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Anyone else have any questions? No? Okay. And we shall move on to reports of OCSD and outside committees. Board of Directors, is there anything you want to report on now, or you want to go on down to administrative items for discussion?
I do have a report for the Keep Oceano Beautiful Committee. We met on September 12th, moving ahead with the cleanup on October 15th and 6th cleanup. We're very excited about getting the district clean, and we'd like everyone to come out and participate, have some fun, get to know each other, and get ready to do some hard work.
That sounds good.
And the next meeting is Monday, September 19th.
And I saw that they did some media coverage,
yes.
And it was
yes,
really
it was
good
excellent.
Coverage.
Yes.
Hopefully it got a good response.
I hope so.
Who's the spaghetti cook?
That's important.
I don't know her personally, and I'll
have that information
the next meeting.
Maybe you were going to say me. You know?
No.
you have your assignment.
I may serve, but I'm not going to cook.
You're the biggest fan in town.
Yeah, really.
You have your assignment, Ms. Hurd.
Okay.
Okay, so let's go on to cash disbursements.
Oh, I have a report.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We did have a personnel committee meeting. Gosh, I can't remember what day it was now. It was a number of days ago. We did make a number of recommendations to the board here tonight based upon that personnel committee meeting, and those are contained in items 10, E, and F. There was also a discussion regarding the current job descriptions. There was a discussion regarding the receipt of grant funds and whether or not that might ultimately lead to a cost of living assessment for the staff, which has not been done in about 3 years. But at this point, obviously, we're all painfully aware of the budget shortfall. So unless or until we can find some more sources of revenue or grants, that's not going to happen at this point. But it is on the table, and it is being looked at and pursued aggressively. So I also did meet with the fire chief and John Wallace. John Wallace took us on a tour of the sewer plant. We took about an hour out of our time. And what gave rise to that particular tour was another meeting with the fire chief. I met with Chief Hubert and Chief Heath a couple of times since August. And the Five Cities Fire Authority does not have a training facility. And so they were looking for somewhere that could be used to run hoses. Obviously, there's not a training tower or classroom, but they're looking for somewhere they can run hoses and do some exercises with. So if anybody from the community knows, they need about an acre, obviously some access to a fire plug, a fire hydrant to get water out of, and a place to run their hoses and do exercises at. Station plant. Anybody that's interested in seeing it, I think they should. Obviously, another discussion, and we haven't gotten to Lori's, but is if anybody's been following the Paso Robles sewage plant and the problems that they're having, it's something I think we need to keep in mind. Our sewage plant's about the same age, and so it's something we need to keep alert of and probably be making some strategic plans for replacing that sewage plant or upgrading it as necessary because of the age. So.
Yeah, I'll talk a little bit about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mrs. President?
Yes.
Could I just do a little interjection here? Because
sure.
It's not on the agenda anywhere, but Thelma and I were at a training last week in Monterey.
Mm-hmm.
I was there for 2 days, and Thelma was there for 3 days. And she's planning on giving a really in-depth report because there was a great deal of information covered. The seminar was really fabulous. And Tom asked me to just give a couple of comments on some high points that I remembered and really sang out to me, so to speak. And interestingly enough, they use San Luis Obispo as one of their examples of good planning. One of the items that they touched on was a 5-year strategic plan so that everybody's going down the road in the same direction for the same period of time. And then the 2-year budget plan was another item that San Luis Obispo has implemented and they thought was a fabulous idea. And of course, they stress the importance of audits, and we're well aware of how important those are. So that was very informative. And then one of the things that the whole crew has been working on since Tom and I came on board is transparency for the community. And that's one of the things that they really, really stressed at this seminar, too, is that your community needs to know where everything is. And so it was very interesting. And the last item that they talked about is in conjunction with what you just mentioned about upgrading sewer treatment plant. And their recommendation is that you fund your, they call it depreciation, but it's actually your replacement items on today's prices, not the prices that they were built for 20, 30, or even 60 years ago. So it puts a real burden of responsibility on all of us to keep a close watch on monies and make those allocations so that when the money's needed, the bulk of it's available. That's the highlights of the 2 days for
yes.
me.
And to, if needed, replace our infrastructure. So I'm excited to put it together, and I'm hoping that the board is very receptive because it's time.
Yes.
I think that's something that's been hard to get a grasp on over the last few years, especially there's been so much chaos and disruption.
I agree.
A lot of this stuff has just been avoided because of the consequences. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear.
Yes.
I do have a report also from the Zone 3 Tech, and before I get into that, I just want to thank Thelma for attending that, because that has been some of the district's issues of the non-planning thing. And I think as when me and you came on the board, that's what was facing us. And we had no direct direction on how to proceed with those kind of issues. This is the strategic plan, and along with the finances, because it is very, when we just had a water rate increase,
yes,
and people, I think, in the district, and I hope that the constituents can hear it loudly, is that you need to have the ability to not only maintain our system, but to improve our system, because
absolutely,
as Matt suggested earlier, we have an aging sewer plant, and everything needs to be maintained. And if our constituents look at their water bill, we got the Lopez redemation, the upgrade to the water treatment plant. So all those issues are important, and they need to be addressed in a way that we can afford it. And how to do that, I just want to thank you for going out there and getting up to date on today's issues on how to do those kind of things.
Well, thank you. It really is my pleasure, and I can just say right now, before we even start, it's going to be hard work.
Yes.
For all of us. And the last thing I want to say about it is the beauty of the strategic planning is that it connects directly into our budget.
Right.
So the funding, we know that it's there when we need it.
Okay. I attended the Zone 3 Technical Committee. Fortunately enough, we were advised and we were able to run our pumps and keep that at abrupt. They talked quite a bit about the chlorine residuals that were coming out of the plant. Currently, right now, the plant is producing about 6 to 6.5 million gallons a day. And in our chlorine residuals have been fairly well. I mean, we're keeping, I've got some charts, and I'd love to share them with the board on the technical end. Oceano has been keeping a pretty even keel. Back in May, we did have a spike, but that spike fell back right close to the first of the month in June. And that can be pretty typical with the delivery system, the plant trying to adjust or whatever. But we have, Oceano has been fairly consistent, whereas Avila, Pismo, Edna, Port San Luis have had some real issues in their spikes. And that basically is the transfer of water and their storage and how fast they can move that water and leave it in the tanks. So that's a little information on the technical end. One other issue that came up at the tech meetings came from Mary Lucy inquiring about the Zone 3 committee's bylaws, and they haven't been reviewed in quite a number of years.
85.
We have that on our agenda tonight, and I'll speak to that a little bit more extensively on that agenda item, and hopefully I can persuade the board to write a letter of support or at least a letter of intent to the Board of Supervisors and Zone 3 that those issues can be reviewed. There is going to be about a $50,000 appropriation to the HCP issue at the Arroyo Grande Creek, and that is having to do for, and the projection is if we do have a rainy season this year that we will experience a spill, and which is okay with us because that only makes our aquifers more healthy. And I'm glad to say that from everything that I can gather and meeting with Dan and Tom, our system has been working very well. And our wells seem to be in very good health right now, much more than I could say than 2 years ago, you know, when we were experiencing a drought situation and the scare of the saltwater intrusion. I think that was kind of a smoke cloud personally, but I think those issues have been addressed. I did also attend the water rack with Mary Lucy. And some of the issues there are the Nacimiento situation and how they're going to bring that to fruition. And there's a lot there at the water rack. So you really have to jump in with both sleeves up to grasp it all. But there was an appointment made. Bob Blair from Nipomo was not elected to that. It was another lady. Christy, what was her last name? Do you remember? Was appointed, and the vote was 23-1.
Great resume.
Yeah. And that's what I had on the Zone 3 Tech, except that we do have some elections coming up for the agricultural representatives. It looks like Tally will take the lead position, and then Vern Akaila will take the alternate position. So that's good. And then, like I said, a little later on in the agenda, I'll address the bylaws and ask the board to consent.
Rick, you brought up a couple of issues. It reminds me of I read an article this week.
Question about the environment on the outside of that portal, right? And that was cleaned up, and it was on a very low year, right? So everything has salt in it. You know, that's all that's on the earth, you know. So as your water gets lower and that bubble starts to, you know, because it kind of creates a buffer. It's kind of almost like brackish. It creates a buffer of salt, water, fresh water, and then it's kind of brackish in between. That is going to get thin, right? But politically, just saying the word saltwater intrusion started a snowball, and a state of emergency was declared, not and based on two separate tests, right, from two different labs. The third test came in, we were clean as a whistle, right? Too late. An application had already been zoomed out to CCWA. So there was I hate to use the word a hysteria campaign, but there was a campaign built around just the definition of, just the usage of saltwater intrusion, because the state has a history of that happening to our wells. You know, and it goes all the way down to Baja, and, you know, it's nothing new. You know, so politically, that train had left the station almost before the third test could come back in, you know, electronically. It was too staged for my comfort, but it was too late. There was nothing we could do about it. And the threat of saltwater intrusion was put in every document. It was referenced. And it basically was a well assassination. And that's how I felt, you know. So Oceano, being the responsive community, pulled back up off our pumping off that well, right? I mean, not off that site, but pumping our groundwater in other locations, right, because they're all tied together. Others who pump groundwater did not stop to the degree that we did, and we were the least to pump groundwater. The other are... areas who pump from that aquifer, the Santa Maria ground basin, you know, they continued their pumping. So they couldn't have been too much pond in that.
And they're still using it.
Oh, yeah.
Still in the newspaper this week.
I attended the RAC meeting and don't think, you know, I had several people from other CSDs come up to me and tell me I was in denial or whatever. And I said, that's fine, but I'm just reading what the tests say, and, you know, and I'm not convinced. But a campaign was built on that, and so, you know, it is what it is. But I do think that we did create one document, putting it out, questioning the saltwater, and asked to stop using that terminology. But it was ignored because, you know, we're this big and they're this big, you know.
Well, it makes me wonder if it wouldn't be prudent for us as a board to discuss putting out, you know, a press release or a letter to each of the other CSDs in the county and mm-hmm. the CCWA, telling them, hey, in case you missed the report that came in, the well is tested clean, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. there's not the threat of saltwater intrusion. So stop using it as a political political pawn to get water for yourselves.
And Mr. Wynn, who is, you know, I respect the man highly, you know, and his knowledge base is just amazing, you know, when it comes to water in the area. He chairs the RAC, and I don't know if he's on the board or he's staff at NCSD, but, you know, there is a very strong relationship there. He does chair the Water Resource Advisory Committee. And, you know, so Napomo's still pumping. You know. Yeah. They have to, though. So I think, you know, if we can send a stronger letter, you know, but it's going to be a fight to pull that language out.
Yeah. Well, I think we should try.
Well, I would just like to say that, you know, our forward test well is right across the street. And when that issue of saltwater intrusion came up, it was tested and it came back negative.
That's right.
And if any problems that Oceano is going to experience in its groundwater basin, I mean the one we pump from, would first show up right there. And at that point, then we would have some issue and some concern. Mm-hmm. But right, even when, you know, in the low end and in the drought area, when they supposedly pulled nine, and we were down to 5%, you know, and so and reading those reports, you know, that was their suggestion that, you know, we slow down in front of everybody else, and when our primary well that we would be concerned about was coming up negative.
Mm-hmm.
So just that being said, I'd just like to, you know, to rest assured the constituents in our district that, you know, our wells are very healthy, and especially now with the last season of rain. And I don't perceive any problem down there. I know that there has been some talk in the Tech and Water RAC of drilling a new test well, and I say yeah, but it shouldn't be on our backs.
Well, I agree with Director Guerrero. I think that we should put something in writing, and specifically to Napomo, but also to the public if need be.
Yeah, we have on item C. Review draft letter of support addressed to Board of Supervisors for the Napomo Supplemental Water Supply Project. And it should be in your packet on here,
yes.
too.
Yes.
Which would kind of tie in with that, too.
I have a under reports. I have a couple.
Okay. Great. Okay.
Actually, this might be the place to put it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
This might be the place to put it. Oh, and by the way,
stop
saying you need it because we got seawater intrusion. But you need it for other reasons. But
okay. We've skipped over discussion for revenue-generating services. for the community of Oceano, which I believe are these items here, water vending machines.
Are we not finishing the report section?
Pardon me? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we had, no, we still have
no,
some
I
more. I'm
I
sorry.
Did attend
That's
a
right,
couple
you
meetings.
Wanted. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry, Mary.
That's okay.
I kind of lost my thought of, there. Go right ahead.
Oh, I'll just make it really quick. Yeah, I attended the Water Resource Advisory Committee, known as RAC, of Zone 3. The Zone 3 committee is tomorrow night at Grover Beach City Hall at 6. Able to help out on is, you know, our sanitation systems are in place because there's humans on Earth, you know, and they're very fragile ecosystems, and they can either turn on you or you can really respect them and they can make a healthier environment and community. And sometimes the levels, you can almost tell where we are in the seasons by what kind of bacterias and toxins and things that are coming through the water systems. You can also tell if you know, in a high area where a lot of people do auto mechanics, where you have oil, you know, and things like that. So we've done really good on, you know, encouraging people not to dump stuff down storm drains. We've done public announcements. The state spent millions on stuff like that. We act responsible, I think, as a society when it comes to, like, motor oils and getting all those BODs, they call them, I guess, to proper disposal. What we failed to do is social changes cause problems in these really sensitive ecosystems that we have to maintain in order to live here. We have to get rid of human waste in a responsible way. So when something is happening in the public that's throwing these off, everybody kind of perks up to say what's going on environmentally, locally. So right now we have high levels of, they're not pesticides, but they're chemicals that are mainly used in drug labs. And I don't, you know, how Lori could probably talk more extensive on this. So say, for example, the local drug dealer down the street who's cooking that drugs in the garage, right, is dumping the toxins down the toilet, has now not only just dumped a gallon of toxin down the toilet, but has sabotaged 80,000 gallons or 8,000 gallons of processed waste. And our systems aren't set up for that. That we've overlooked human behavior. Do we have, I'm not talking about people who have, you know, 15, 20 marijuana plants. They're not the people who are creating harm. But when you get up in the national forest, you get somebody up there who has 10,000, 20,000 marijuana plants, and they're using fertilizers to fertilize those plants, right? And they're walking over to the creek and they're dumping the fertilizer into the creek that they're not using. They've just wrecked our sewer system, because part of that water will go through to process sewer. I'm not talking about people who personally grow. Even 100 plants could not create enough fertilizer to harm a sewer system. We're talking about big operations, or we're talking about hundreds of small operations when it comes to methamphetamines and stuff. So I'm asking the public, you know, if you know of any projects or whatever is going on out there, we don't want to know who they are. We just want them to stop dumping chemicals down our sewer systems. That's all we want. We don't want to be in law enforcement or anything like that. We just want them to stop dumping the pesticides, the chemicals. So that's my plea, and that's what I'm going to use my sand time on.
She does have a point. You know, we've been thinking about what could cause all these problems, and that's one thing I hadn't even thought of. And when she started talking about it, I thought, well, that makes a lot of sense, considering we're a rural community, too. It's not just us, but the whole area here. So that's a possibility that we may want to kind of take a look at.
And don't call me with their phone numbers.
I know nothing, yeah.
I'll hit the erase button.
Okay.
But also, too, one other thing is it does bring a lot of attention onto our community.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many different law enforcement departments in the area now because of situations like this. So it, you know, it's not healthy for us, and it's not healthy for anybody.
It can happen here just as it does everywhere else.
So stop it.
Or else.
28, so that seems kind of late to be announcing to the
public.
Yeah,
I think we'll have, I think there's a sanitation district next week, right?
Yes, every other week, correct?
Yeah, because you attended the last one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. Madam President, are you complete with reports so I may provide some public comment? Is it timely?
Let me make sure here.
Well, that's we're not on public comments.
Yeah, we
and we didn't
no
take in any action
comment.
Items, so we wouldn't be doing public
take
comment
public
here.
Comment on reports?
No.
Nope.
It's all before. If you look in the agenda, it's all beforehand.
If it's an action item, if we're taking an action like voting on it, then we would do public comment.
Thank you.
Okay, we are. Find out where we're at.
Number nine.
There we are. Cash disbursements. I'm sorry. I'm looking down the page. I got all these markings already, and I'm going, where am I? Okay. Cash disbursements. I just want to find it again. Does anyone have any questions concerning the cash disbursements?
I move that we accept the cash disbursements.
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None.
I have to tell you, I feel a lot better about spending money now. Since we have new leadership in here, I feel much more comfortable about it. So thank you very much, Marie.
Appreciate your
and Celia and Carol Ann and Dan.
They don't have those gray hairs for nothing, huh?
Yeah, I got a lot of them to do now.
Okay, let's move on to administrative items. And let's go ahead with the revenue generating services for Community of Oceano. And that's up for discussion. We have here a few ideas, water vending machines, 3 to 4 units placed in locations around Oceano, estimated revenue increase of $20,000 per year. Cell towers are also an option that's been looking at possibly to add cell towers to our water tanks. Two separate companies are attempting to bring in AT&T. Current issue is with cell companies is mergers and possible overcapacity. And RV service, looking for a piece of property to buy or lease to provide RV water and air service. This includes dewatering station.
For the cell tower up there, and after I believe it was the second year, there was a merger of cell phone companies.
Okay, I knew
and
there was something that went
the
on.
Other, the one of the two companies had an existing tower close by, so they shut down the one on the Oceana water tanks.
Okay.
And shut it down and removed all
their
equipment.
There's one right over at the end of Pike too, isn't there?
Yes.
The big one there. Okay. All right, so that's something we may want to revisit. Anyway, these are kind of informational only.
Well, Mrs. President, if you remember a few meetings back when we had the issue of the
vending machines, I remember talking
about
that.
Well, actually, it came out of the PEG monies grant that we were talking
right.
about. And some of the monies that we could use for the thing. I then started talking to the general manager on generating new revenues. And one of those issues was water vending machines. We looked into it a little bit, and if we could have three or four units placed throughout the community, we could probably realize somewhere around $20,000 per unit if they were in a high traffic area. And we have discussed several places where these units could be. I did have an opportunity to look throughout the community where these could be placed. I would like to bring that back at a different date where we could actually have a presentation and a budget number for the district to look at for those capital improvements to bring in that revenue. And then Tom also revisited the cell towers. He's working on, currently working on that. And then some out of all that discussion, Mary Lucy had come up with a great idea about, you know, servicing right. The water, the sewer for the dump stations in the community. And I think that it would be a great idea. I would like to see that go through the Water and Sewer Committee so that we could identify at least a projecting properties that items on the agenda tonight, just to let the board members know that, you know, we're really trying to find some extra money out there to keep the district solvent and do some good things. So it's for your information.
How long do you think it'd be till we have some sort of, I don't know, final or proposal or something like that?
On the first item, the water vending machines could be done rather quickly. It's when we looked into it, they're about $5,000 a piece, and if you had four machines, it'd be $20,000. So the four machines would pay for themselves within the first year, and then after that, you know, you would generate $20,000. One of my ideas within the PEG monies is that we could also put on these water machines a kiosk of information of the district so that our agendas be posted, any information, any public information could be put right out there in the public as people come and buy their water, and this is what we're doing, our reports, our water reports could all be broadcast right there with those. So the cell towers, it's, you know, that's something that had to be negotiated, and the RV service would, I think, would take a little bit of planning on trying to find a site, where the site would be, and then where the capital improvement monies would come from.
You're talking about the PEG monies for the water vending machines?
Well, that came out of the PEG monies actually came up from the grants that we thought that we were going to, through the charter thing, and they allotted us so much money for capital improvements. You can't use it for services, right? So these items here would be capital improvements, and so that's where all the discussion came from.
Okay. Well, I think, you know, all these are good ideas, and I think we should pursue them.
Yeah. Well, it's information for the board. I don't want to try to commit any kind of dollar.
Discussed revenue generating options in the past, and I recall the last discussion pretty much unanimously was recognized that water is this district's greatest asset at this time. And with all due respect, the idea of temporary sales and vending machines, we're talking about pennies, but it would be my hope that your board would look a little further than that. You have about 1,900 acre feet of water that's your entitlement between your sources, with hundreds, literally hundreds of acre feet that is undeployed. The last discussion I remember when you were, the board was considering selling water to Los Robles del Mar, and I heard from the public, was they wanted the water deployed here for development purposes, right here, to create jobs for people that live here, or to create jobs for people that want to move here. In this economic climate, jobs, it's all about jobs. And I don't think vending machines are going to produce a lot of jobs, frankly. In addition to the water resources you have at your disposal, you have in your midst an enormous property, the 60-acre airport property. And if there's any place in the community that development could occur that would create jobs, create employment, this is it. But I hear very little discussion about that. And I think it would be remiss of this board to not consider these options. I mentioned Los Robles del Mar, and your board chose not to sell them water, but they bought water from another source, and they're on LAFCO's agenda tomorrow for approval. The world is going to continue to go around, and it's my hope that it doesn't leave Oceano behind. Again, deployment of your water resources, I think, is your best option. But deployment in a way that creates a community for people, and not a transient one, but one, again, that stimulates employment, creates the jobs that is so lacking in this community. So I would encourage you to go back to those thoughts. And I recall at one point there was a letter drafted to the county board saying that Oceano wanted to consider the future and the use of this water within the community. And I would just ask you to bring that discussion back so that it could be had. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
You know, I just want to elaborate. That is much more substantial than asking, the family down the street that has to go down to the vending machine with their Sparklets bottle and pump the quarters in. I'm not sure that that's the kind of vending that we really had in mind. I think it was more like, filling RVs up and that they could come up to the vending machine. It's a way to think outside the box. So I know we're used to just seeing five gallon bottles, but not all water is sold, that way. And we are open to ideas of how to move more water. As far as developing on somebody else's property, it's called trespassing, and we're not allowed to do that out on the airport property. So, but I do appreciate your comments.
Well, just to follow up, Mary, in defense, you can nickel and dime everything you want, mm-hmm. but from what we can gather, $20,000 is $20,000. Right. Now, whether it's, and it's not just the sale of, vending water. It's a service to the community. What are we? We're a community service district. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do, is we service this community. And, you can take light of, you're going to make 20 cents here, you're going to make 20 cents there. But regardless, we're not in this for a profit. We're trying to actually bring services to this community. And and my way of thinking, this is an opportunity to generate some revenue.
Yeah.
Not go to the White House or nothing, but we're trying to not only give services to our community, but to find a way to pay for it and so that the community can have those services.
It's about nickel and diamond.
Yeah.
I myself 15 cent copies.
Yeah, I think it's important that we explore all the avenues that we can in generating revenues. And I have been thinking, I have questions about the transient occupant tax. Vacation rental taxes. And I do believe that they are collected by the county, but I'm not sure if we're in the form of a fee. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see that researched. And if we can start pulling in those funds as long as they are in compliance with Prop 26. We need to look at every avenue that we can.
Yeah, everything counts. Okay, can we take a short break here, a 10-minute break? Would that be okay with everyone?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Call the order. Call the meeting back to order. Okay, we have on next item is going to be item 10B, discussion review of Zone 3 tech bylaws for potential update. And Director Searcy.
Yes, this item came before the Zone 3 tech prior going on to Zone 3. And it's a update of the Zone 3 Advisory Committee bylaws. And in your package, you should see a copy of the Zone 3 Committee bylaws. Also, a copy of the Nacimiento bylaws. Not to conflict with Zone 3, but it's a newly adopted bylaws from the Northern County. The water purveyors in the Zone 3 district have a little bit more, how do I want to say it, a little bit more vested in our water treatment and management of the water resources that we have in the Zone 3 than one of persuasion. I would like to see that particular item changed. Also, in this the membership, I would like to see that the at-large person be eliminated in the Zone 3 and only pertain to the water purveyors, because they are the ones that are vested in the water issues as far as money goes, and they're the ones that do the kind of the technical end. I mean, all of our entities like Dan and people that we hire, you know, issue that, and a person at large really has no vested interest in the business at hand, except that my only personal feeling is about it is that if you had a water purveyor, let's say you had a majority of agricultural, and then you throw in a at-large person that all boundaries are within the same district, they'd end up with three votes, whereas everybody else only has one. And so I would like to see it. And if you look in through the Nacimiento's commission, they pertain it to those only that have vested interest and who are water purveyors. And that being said, that is pretty much my discussion on item B, and then going right into item C, I would like to ask the board to send a letter to Zone 3 and the Board of Supervisors asking that these bylaws be reviewed and possibly changed in committee, or have some suggestions so that it can come back and be presented at Zone 3 for approval and approval of the Board of Supervisors.
I've reviewed this, and I think I just tie in the discussion from earlier.
You could draft a letter like that. I think that that would be very well accepted, at least here, and be presented on with the request of a bylaw change to the Board of Supervisors in Zone 3.
Okay. I agree, and specifically on item 3 of the bylaws with the committee's authority, I would like to see that read recognized recommendations, because recognize is a formality, and the recommendation would also require a response where persuasion does not.
Right.
Right.
Well, when I brought it up, actually, I was the one that brought it up, that, you know, I'd like to review the membership and the bylaws of the Zone 3, because I couldn't find the purpose of this body, you know, because you have the technical committee that makes recommendations, that is all the engineers and people who work on site, and then you have the Water Resource Advisory Committee, RAC, as it's known as, making the recommendations, and so it all comes to this board with the decisions already made. And basically, and I don't want to say rubber stamping, but I can't see past what this board's purpose is besides endorsing what their subcommittees have already determined as a need, you know. And so I asked them to put it on this next agenda, and it was not put on the agenda. So
that's a good question, because it's an advisory committee, meaning, you know, give advice, right. And if the authority is persuasive, that's not binding.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
So. Yeah. It's an advisory. There's no meat to the committee.
Exactly.
There's no teeth to the committee.
Right.
You know, and I don't think that that was the intention when this structure was built.
To be window dressing?
Yes, to be part of the window dressing. I really, truly meant, I think they meant for them to have more of an active involvement.
We should have more active involvement, because we're all involved with it. It all
right. Comes
back to each.
And I think that people who are financially, individuals who are financially benefiting from it, should not be part of that board. You know, they should not be holding the engineer who...
It is?
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, no,
there's
it's not.
Thursdays
we have our second...
There's 5 this month.
Well, isn't this the second week of this month?
No, we're in September, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Right. So we have our meetings the second and fourth week of the month, right? So this would be the second week.
Second and fourth Wednesday. Not in the second and fourth week. We have them the second and fourth Wednesday.
Oh, okay. I stand corrected.
You're right. There's 5 of them.
Yeah. Okay. I stand corrected.
So they're having their meeting tomorrow?
Yep.
Yes. So Rick and I will be there tomorrow at Grover Beach, 6 o'clock.
And just one other quick note under item 12 of the bylaws, paragraph 3. It states, in so much as the committee is a county entity operated by and under the authority of the county, no member of the committee is empowered to commit the zone or the county to any action, participation, or financial involvement. But yet, we are required, I mean, as 20% shareholder of the Zone 3, we're committed to those dollars. And it just doesn't make sense that we're putting out this amount of money. I mean, everybody knows, just going through our last budget session, what we're paying for state water and the upgrades and everything else, is that you know, there's no real authority there for us to speak out on the amount of money that we're spending. And in this type of language gives us no, I mean, we could stamp our feet and jump up and down, and it's
It's all of a sudden.
Okay, let's go on as business as usual. So whether this type of language be changed to make it a little bit more palatable, I think that that is something that also that within the bylaws should be looked at. And at that, if there's no more discussion, I'd like to make a motion that we draft a letter to the Zone 3 and the County Board of Supervisors within their bylaws, which it says at least one meeting prior to the Zone 3, that a letter be presented for any changes to the bylaws or any corrections, so that the process of Zone 3 committee members and the county to start the process of reviewing these and updating them.
But I think it's been moved in second.
Okay. So we need to do a vote on it. Let's do a voice vote, please. Okay, Director Searcy?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Vice President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
President Angelo?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, now we have, the next item is going to be discussion, review draft letter of support addressed to the Board of Supervisors for Napomo Supplemental Water Supply Project. Recommended action is board approval. I'm going to find another pile here. Okay, do we have any questions, comments?
I just have one question from council. Did you get to review this and this?
I did review it, and it stems from the Santa Maria groundwater litigation and the Northern Cities Management meetings, and ties into the NCSD issues with water. They are obligated to provide 2,500 acre feet supplemental water each year. They haven't done it. They haven't really implemented a plan to do it. And that's where the politics are starting to kick in. It's costing a fortune for them, and it's very political. And but the judgment is in place. They are required to do it. And now it's in the Northern Cities, which we are part, seems to be stalled out.
Stalemate.
Yeah. Molly, can you explain just very briefly the relationship between Golden State and NCSD? Because, you know, where I'm at, I take utilities, and I'm seeing an increase in people that are being switched over to Golden State water. And I'm wondering if what's the relationship?
I do not know, but that's a very good question, especially in light of the waiver that's also on the agenda tonight.
Oh.
My discussions with the attorney who represents all of us in the Santa Maria groundwater litigation and is now representing or wants to represent Golden State in an entirely unrelated issue. It never occurred to me that what you're asking was even an issue. Now that you've asked that, I will ask him, look into it.
Yeah, I don't take payments for water districts in the South County. Okay. I have 300 companies in my machines, right? you know, I can do Los Angeles, you know, I can do 50, 75 other cities, right? But the only purveyor I can take in this area is Golden State. And I have noticed an increase in the bills, and so I've asked a few of the customers, and they've said that they were encouraged to, they just basically were transferred over to Golden State, and they didn't know anything about it, but they have a new water company. And
it's Napomo?
Well, they were with Napomo, and now they're Golden State.
But maybe it's in the Napomo area?
Yeah, it's all rural AG. Rural AG, the Mesa, people who have wells on their properties, things like that, yeah.
That's interesting. I will ask, because if it is limited to Napomo, I can theoretically say where, and if we're headed sideways with Napomo down the road, that may become an issue.
Yeah, and how does that occur? How does it, do you take a person off one rolls and print them over into another company, or is that future planning, or have to do with build out, or I don't know.
No, but we don't have that issue.
A portion of Napomo that before it was, you know, has grown in leaps and bounds, that the subscribers, some of them had private wells, but there was water companies out there, and I thought this was one of those water companies.
Yeah, I thought it was a really tiny water company, yeah. Too, just like, you know, for an association or something like that.
Right.
But no, they're big.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow, got to check that one out.
Yeah, Golden State Water is it's a private water company,
okay.
And they have small water companies all over the entire state of California. And they mostly handle golf courses, country clubs,
okay.
Small areas. Orchid is all handled by Golden State. San Luis Country Club is handled by Golden State. Some of Los Osos is various small places like, you know, golf courses and just little sections. There are sections in Napomo that are not connected to the main Napomo
right.
district that are ran by private companies.
Right.
And that's who Golden State is,
so
and
like
they have
like a small subdivision could be.
Yeah, but they're all over the state of California. They're a very large company.
So theoretically if say you went over how many people you agreed to serve or something, they theoretically could be transferred over to another company like Golden State.
Well, anybody that wants to privatize their water system can hire anybody to come in and take care of it, any community or a section thereof. If they have small sections that aren't connected, they can hire a private company to come in and handle that for them. I know Napomo has several small areas that are ran by different companies. Rural Water also handles areas in Napomo.
Yeah, and these are
residential
are
also, yes.
Yeah.
Residential and commercial.
Yeah.
Cypress Ridge is on its own separate water and sewer. And
is that, just says nothing really to do with it, but if you have a house that's on one of these separate companies rather than the Napomo Community Services Districts, is there a disadvantage or an advantage to that for the individual to have their own separate water? Neither one?
No, I don't
so
see how they're
opposed to whoever the other one is.
Right.
There's a big difference in what the rates are from one company to the other. So if Golden State is buying some of Napomo stuff, then how does that apply to this supplemental water that they're supposed to be providing? Is that how they're raising revenue in hopes that they'll be able to pay for this?
Oh,
and where is the water
to
supposed to come from for this 2,500 acre feet?
So, Council, in your
she's going to ask a question. She's going to answer.
I will ask unless there's. Thank you, Dan, for who is Golden State. That takes care of that question. What is the relationship to NCSD? Is probably a good question that we need to know in light of this letter and the conflict of
think maybe we should answer those questions, and we can bring it back on the 28th and readdress this.
Is it too late for that letter to go out then?
This letter?
Uh-huh. On the 28th? Would that be fine?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we can probably modify it. This was drafted and sent by the Road and Cities Management Group and sent out to everyone just, you know, as a show of support.
Yeah.
But if we want to modify it, we can certainly do that too.
Okay, so we'll put it on the next agenda.
Okay.
Okay, item D, discussion of Santa Maria groundwater litigation. Isn't that kind of hand in hand here?
I think we just did that.
Yeah.
No, that was D, yeah.
Okay. We're down to consideration proposal to Board of Directors to promote dam sale. I'm sorry.
We do need to discuss the conflict waiver, and I still think that based on what I know about the Nossaman's firm's representation of Golden State, it is totally unrelated. And they do want to move forward and get a conflict waiver.
Okay.
So I've taken theirs and added our concerns that they will, the law firm will immediately inform us if there's any, if any of the potential conflicts actually arise or look imminent, and we don't waive any attorney-client privilege.
Actual or perceived conflict?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think that with those in place and based on the representation that it's completely unrelated and that just recently told me he expects all the work to be done within a year with Golden State, and it's a separate office in San Francisco, I think we probably should.
And a second, and
who seconded?
Thelma.
Oh, Thelma.
Okay, can we get a voice vote, please?
Aye.
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 How's that?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
I'm sorry. I'm getting rummier by the minute.
Me too.
Too many meetings today.
Okay, fine, Dan. Just move on.
And I'm presenting President Angelo with the actual waiver there. That's just been voted on.
Maybe we can just bundle the rest of 10. And
yeah, there you go. Well, we could move to adopt, you know.
10.
10, yes.
Okay. I just had the wrong one. Am I supposed to sign on both of these? I know, I thought, uh-oh.
You sign it, you have the authority to sign it.
I thought, oh,
that works in my house.
Okay.
I'll just put somebody else's name on there.
Somebody tells me what to do and then tells me they have the authority to tell me what to do.
Yeah, so. Right. Okay.
Then you've been told twice.
Where are we at now? E. Down here to E. Okay. Consideration proposal to the Board of Directors to promote Dan Silvera from current position utility operations lead person to utility operations supervisor. Recommended action is board approval to promote Dan Silvera from current position to utility operations lead person to utility operations supervisor.
I'll so move.
Well, okay. Let me get a short discussion. This came out of the Personnel Committee meeting. Dan Silvera is already working in this capacity. We thought this more reasonably reflected his actual duties and that his pay should reflect that. And plus him being here, it's hard to say no. So,
can I just bring up a procedural question?
Yes.
Is my understanding is that the GM, right?
Right.
Based on Personnel Committee's recommendations and their own, right?
Yes.
Just handle these things and inform us of who's been selected and in these positions.
And that was my thought, too, was I thought this was more of a management decision. When I spoke with Mr. Gieselin about it, he didn't disagree with me, but he seemed to want to have the board's full support and approval since it does have a budget impact, I think, because there will be an increase in salary given this. We did have a thorough discussion.
Item 4-7, the merit increases. I don't want to be the one that micromanages a general manager, but I think it should go hand in hand with the approval of a personnel committee, whoever that might be at the time. And it doesn't stipulate that in here. It does stipulate the probationary period and at each anniversary date thereafter. But it kind of leaves out, I feel that the personnel committee should be at least able to review that prior to just a arbitrary merit increase.
Well, they're not arbitrary. These are governed by policy, and, yeah. And that is a management decision that's happened. We've had issues in the past here with people not getting their step increases and exposing the district.
Right, and I feel that if personnel committee is part of that process, then it might not.
Well, they're automatic at this point. So if you have X number of months, certain amount of time that goes into it, you get your step increase.
Right.
And so there's no personnel committee oversight. There's no actual manager oversight other than to make sure that it happens, that they get their appropriate job reviews.
Well, then that was just my comment then, and I'll continue with my motion to approve.
Okay. I'll second it.
Okay. Any other comments? Anybody in... Okay, let's do a...
Can we do... Is there a reason we have to do E and F separately?
Can we do them together?
We can do E and F. E and F is the same thing.
Except for a different name, Miss Marie.
As far as item 10F, this is for Marie McGrath. We at the personnel committee, we discussed it. Tom Gieselin was to discuss a pay package with Miss McGrath. And I assume... I haven't seen it, but I assume that since it's on the agenda for tonight, that they were able to work something out within the budget. So it is recommended that it be approved.
Can I add a friendly amendment to your amendment, Rick? I move that we accept number E for Marie. Oh no, F for Marie McGrath to be included in the as a from a contract to a permanent employee.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
President Angelo?
Yes.
And Director Lucy?
Yes. Why am I always last?
No, that's not true.
I'm a senior.
I don't have to keep saying
you always
anyway.
Call my name last.
Okay.
That best for last.
To sit on the end.
Item 10G, review submitted photographs for the photo contest. Recommended action, board, OCSD staff, and audience to vote for the winners.
And when's the deadline?
We're going to tally the votes up. We have a few more staff members that need to vote, and we're going to call the winner, and we'll announce it at the next board meeting. Okay.
On the
They're
20th.
Stunning. All of them are really great, great photos.
Yes.
Yes, perhaps.
Okay.
Perhaps we could ask AGP to take a shot of those and so that they go out to the community.
Later. Yeah. They're really, really wonderful.
Yes, and we'd ask also the community to come in to vote. You could come into the OCSD at any time and vote for your favorite photograph. We'd ask everyone to do that.
Okay, next items are utility items, well-served letters, there's none, fee letters, none, public comment,
none.
Board member discussion, anything, anybody? Okay, board member items for the next board agenda. And any written communications? None.
No.
Okay, does anybody have anything in particular they want to put on the agenda next? To be a next agenda?
No.
No? Okay. Then.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Adjourned.
Trying to beat the hammer.
My favorite.